Alleluia, Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed. Alleluia.
Amen. You may be seated. Truly, truly. Other translations, amen, amen, most assuredly. These are the words that Jesus uses, especially in the Gospel of John, to introduce his greatest promises that he gives. It is most assuredly, it is doubly true what he says when he says these words. So these words are used about the promise of baptism, that by being born of water and the Spirit, you are a part of the kingdom of God. It is true of the testimony about the triune God, about the Son, about the Son's own authority as that Son of God, that salvation is guaranteed to the one who hears his word and believes it. It is true, doubly true, the resurrection of the dead, that believers will rise and have eternal life. It is doubly true, then, of God's provision of daily bread. Doubly true of how salvation depends upon faith in the Son of Man. It is doubly true about the promise of keeping his word, that the one who keeps his word, who believes it, will never see death. It is doubly true that our Lord Jesus Christ is the door by which the sheep enter the sheepfold. It is true that he is in himself the seed that falls to the ground dying in order to bear much fruit. It is true of the preaching, the promise of receiving the preaching of Christ, and thus the words and the sending of the apostles being the same as receiving Christ and the Father himself. It is doubly true of the greatness of the ministry of Christ through his apostles, unto his pastors, unto his church, through time. It is doubly true, as you heard just a couple weeks ago, the promise of their joy being full. And finally, today we hear the double truth of prayer. We cannot speak of prayer without speaking of our Lord's promises. And so Jesus says, truly, truly, amen, amen. Whatever you ask the Father in his name, that is in Jesus' name, he will give it to you. And to complete the picture, Jesus follows it up with a command, an imperative, ask. That there is both command and promise, the foundation of much of our Christian lives and our faith as we live it out. Command and promise. Does God answer prayers? Or maybe a first question, does God hear prayers? What does the Scripture say about God? Is God limited in any part of his nature of being everywhere, knowing all things, to not be able to hear the prayers that are uttered by our lips or even in our minds? Well, of course not. It's not that God isn't able. Of course God is able to do so. Only the most crass idolaters or atheists have become so foolish as to not know that God can and does hear prayers. But God, in the holiness of heaven, does he hear the prayers of sinners? And there the Scriptures are clear that sin blocks prayer. But we are Christians, and God has done things to our sins, thus taken them away. And so we trust that God hears our prayers. And if God can hear them, then I guess we need to ask the next question, does God desire, does he want to hear your prayers? Are the prayers that we utter an annoyance to him? He teaches us that he is our Father, but even earthly dads grow tired of the requests of their children at times. Is God the same? Well, no. The fatherhood of God is the gold standard. It is the perfect standard. And every earthly father falls short of his perfection as father. If we who are evil, Jesus says, know how to give good things to our children, how much more good from that good Father who is in heaven? Besides this, of course, what has God the Father done that we would trust that he actually wants to hear our prayers, that he wants to help us and do things for us as a result to our prayers? And here we must look to the entire Trinity, our entire triune God. The Father has sent the Son. The Son has bled and died for us. His hands and his feet were pierced. His head was crowned with thorns. His side was pierced by a spear. His body bled. His physical strength exhausted. His life was given. On the cross, his body hung that we would be saved. And he did that. And it was the Father's will. The Son proves the Father's goodwill toward you. And yet the Father and the Son both together send also then the Comforter, the Helper, the Spirit of Truth, the Counselor into your hearts that you would cry out, Abba, that is Father. That you would know God as your Father and speak to him as such and request things of him as such. The entire triune God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, has been shown to be involved in your prayers. The Spirit of our God that God has given you, he moves you to prayer, gives you the very words to pray. The Son has made the way for your petition as a sinner to be heard because you are covered in his righteousness. Your prayers approach the Father because of the Son. And the Father, well, the Father is delighted to give you the good things that you ask for in the Son's name. So does God hear your prayer? Yes. Does God want to hear your prayers? The entire Trinity testifies to a resounding yes. Now, does God answer prayers? We could, of course, come up with experiential evidence for this, but I think we might find also some experiences which teach us maybe a different answer. But there is, as always, something more sure than our experience. We have here the command and the promise of our God. Truly, truly, doubly true. Remember? Here we wonder why he hasn't always answered every single one of our prayers. Well, the book of James lays out, of course, that doubt can cause our prayers to falter. And surely, if we ask of God because we think highly of ourselves, that us we are praying not in Christ's name, but praying in our own name, we really shouldn't expect an answer. But also, of course, praying in Jesus' name means praying according to God's word. Jesus promises if we pray in his name, that is, that the reasons that our prayers come forth is trust in Jesus, with faith in Jesus. That the reason those prayers come out of our sin-ridden minds and uttered are over our sinful lips, and yet still those same prayers can ascend all the way into the holiness of the heavens to be cherished by the holy God who is God the Father in heaven. The reason for all of that is the Son. Jesus is the reason, the only reason that God the Father hears your prayers and receives them with a Father's heart. Jesus is so sure of his finishing the work that the Father sent him to do in our text today that he can make the promise ahead of time that he's going back to the Father. And because he's going back to the Father by way of the cross and the tomb and his own ascension, that the Father will grant whatever you ask in the Son's name. So did Jesus really suffer and die on the cross? Were the sins of the world, including your sins, Those sins which, without Christ, would inhibit or prohibit your prayers from being heard by the Father in heaven. Were those sins really put into his body as he hung on the tree? Did he really bear them away from you that they would never return again? That you indeed, with those prayers, can be heard as a perfect child of God because of Christ? Yes. And based upon that sure and certain and finished work of Jesus, you can be sure and certain that your prayers are heard, that they are received by the Father who loves you. Does that certainly then also mean that those prayers will also be answered? Yes, it does. If we ask out of faith in Jesus, our prayers will be heard and they will be answered. That our faith in Christ, of course, will then also inform our prayers from the Word of Christ. The Bible tells us what is good, what is right, what is true, what is sufficient, what is helpful in every situation of life. The Bible teaches us about God's timing versus our own. That in matters of our salvation or the salvation of others, we have the sure and certain word of God on the matter, and we can pray absolutely without any conditions whatsoever. That we should pray for the forgiveness of others and the salvation of others, knowing that God cannot deny his word and his promises. And that also then, in matters of this earthly life, which we are also to commend to our Father in heaven and seek out his help in every need, that we are indeed like Jesus who came before us, we must temper our faithful requests by accepting God's will. As we learn, thy will be done. That if we are asking for something harmful to us or harmful to others, God, like a good father, will not grant it. That we are, when you pray this, thy will be done, we are not just kind of entrusting things to some kind of faltering or fickle will of some distant God who may or may not hear our prayers, may or may not grant them based upon whatever he feels or thinks at the time, but we are entrusting them to the will of the very God who gave his only begotten Son, who bled and died for our salvation. That the greatest gift of eternal life would be guaranteed to be ours already. This is very important as we realize this is our flesh. Our sinful nature will want to turn away from the will of God into our enemy. And it will want to turn God's will into that enemy and despise it. And will then, of course, that flesh will try to idolize our will. And even try to sanctify it over and against God's will. But no, we must confess by faith that God's will is always good. Not only confess that, but pray that, and faith that accepts that. That whatever God wills is good. And more than good, it's best for us. Now the flesh, the sinful nature, despises this. The flesh doubts this. And when we faithfully pray for ourselves or for our neighbor, we lovingly pray for them as well. We know to pray with God's will in mind, because God's will, of course, is best for both you and for your neighbor. I say this because Jesus is clear. He is clear at the end of our gospel lesson today that in this world you will have tribulation. You will have afflictions. That there will be pressures put upon you from outside of you, but then doubly there will be pressures put upon you from inside of you as that flesh presses in. The very things that you feel pressing in on you every day or tearing away inside of you every day. This is what Jesus speaks of. But Jesus, to that knowledge, that warning, so to speak, he promises something. He says, take heart, I have overcome the world. That's his statement of fact, even as he goes to the cross. Take heart. Pray. The Father loves you. The Father wants to hear your prayers and answer them. Unbelievers throughout the scriptures are marked as ones who do not call upon the name of the Lord in prayer. Let us not be so. Pagans call upon the idols that demons have put in front of them and taught them all kinds of lies to pray to. But you, the baptized, have been given the revelation of the entire triune God. You have been shown his will toward you in the Son, Christ Jesus, the crucified and living Lord. You have been blessed and given his Holy Spirit. You have the seal and the pledge that indeed you are a part of God's kingdom. You are even more than that. You are God's own child in your baptism. Don't ever think that God does not want to hear you call upon him. He, of course, wants to hear you call upon him. He has commanded it and promised it. That ask. That he of himself cannot deny what he has commanded. He certainly will never deny what he has promised. That truly, truly, whatever you ask the Father in Jesus' name, that is, whatever you ask, trusting in the work and the worthiness of Jesus alone, whatever you ask that is in line with what Jesus taught, with what the Scriptures teach, for us to faithfully trust what is truly good, right, and true, well, that the Father who gave you Jesus, the Father and the Son together who have given you their Spirit, who moves and enables you to pray to the Father, well, God will do it. And indeed, may God grant that your prayers become as natural for you as a Christian as breathing. And may God grant that you have such trust in Jesus as to see just how quickly those prayers that come to your mind are then near and at the ear of the Father above, moving his heart to do everything for you as your dear Father who is in heaven. And may God grant you to pray for yourself. May he grant you to pray for all those around you, entrusting every single thing of every single day into his care and in his keeping, and expecting from him nothing but good according to his goodness. Nothing but good from our God who has shown his fatherly divine goodness and mercy to us. And may you always take the words and the promises of Christ to heart, especially in your prayers. Alleluia, Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed. Alleluia.
Amen. Please rise. The peace of God which surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.